I don't envy you, lady. That is one bad curse. Curses are tough. You're gonna have a very hard time getting rid of that one.
The fire spoke.
Let me guess. The curse won't allow you to talk about it, right?
Are you a howl?
No, I'm an extremely powerful fire demon named Calcifer. I just like to do that once in a while.
A fire demon? Well then, you should be able to break my curse.
Maybe, maybe not. Listen, if you can find a way to break the spell that's on me, then I'll break the spell that's on you. You got it?
If you're a demon, how do I know I can trust you? You promise to help me if I help you?
I don't know, lady. Demons don't make promises.
Then go find someone else.
Come on, you should feel sorry for me. That spell keeps me stuck in this castle, and Hal treats me like I'm his slave. It burns me up. You gotta keep the water hot, the rooms warm, keep the castle moving.
That's right.
Come on. You ever try to move a castle? If you can figure out how to break this thing I'm in with Howl, then you can break my spell. After that, I can easily break the spell that's on you.
All right. It's a deal.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Red Shade Movie Podcast, a podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to get when he's depressed, he secretes goo out of his skin, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thanks. You're not supposed to know about that.
I caught you slipping one time, and it was
goo,
messy.
The goo secretions are a secret. Now
did
all
you accidentally...
of our... seven listeners will know my
your deep dark secret.
My dark secret, yeah.
It was after you bleached your hair for swimming and you're like, I hate this color.
And then yep, I got sad and gooey, as most often do.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the podcast where every week Perk and I review a movie connected to the last one we watched. If you like our show, we post pretty much every Friday on YouTube and podcast services. You can tell your friends about it and all come watch the movies with us. We're doing Japanese anime films right now, and last week we watched Princess Mononoke, and we wanted to do another Ghibli film, so we followed Hayao Miyazaki to this week's movie, Howl's Moving Castle. Perk, why don't you intro for us?
Yeah, all right. So Howl's Moving Castle is a 2004 joint, also by Hayao Miyazaki, and it is again starring different people depending on which versions Jacob and I saw. It follows a sorcerer named Howl who's got a magical castle that's run by his talking fire friend, and there's a girl who gets turned into an elderly woman, and she winds up cleaning his house, and
they go on an adventure.
They go on an adventure, and the fun fact I found is that after seeing Spirited Away, Christian Bale signed on to just do anything in this movie without even knowing that he was going to be cast as the lead. He's just like, I just want to be a part of it.
Understandable. The other thing to note I want to mention is this is based on a book.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a original story by Studio Ghibli or anything. I'll go first, Brooke. I haven't gone first in a while. I don't know if I like this movie or not. I have very conflicted feelings about it. I think it's gorgeous. You know, it's kind of expected, right?
I was going to say, at this point, it's just obviously it's Ghibli. It's gorgeous. But we have to say it because...
Yeah, we got to do it.
Yeah, you have to tip the cap because their baseline is so high. The animation is just so good. It's an incredibly beautiful movie, as everyone expected.
And I think all the character, again, the imagery, the character designs are just fantastic and really interesting to look at and all that. I think the issue I have this movie is I was just very confused during the third act of like, what is happening? And, you know, what are the rules of this magic system? And this is, I think, again, it's not be a personal thing where, you know, we talk about with fantasy, there are kind of two different types of magic. There's hard magic and there's soft magic. Soft magic is kind of like Harry Potter, where like the rules are kind of loosey-goosey. They don't really explain everything to you. And hard magic is like everything that's done has a cost, or there is a set rule list. If you break the rules, bad things happen, all that kind of thing. I think of like Hunter as like a perfect example of that. I'm more of a hard magic guy because I like rules. And by the end of this, I'm like, what is happening? Why are things happening? What is Sophie doing? And I read in the trivia that she is real in the book that she is in fact a witch. And you can kind of figure that out in this movie, but it's never explicitly stated. So when she was, like, helping people or fixing things, I was like, does she have powers, or is she just really nice, or is it because of the curse that was placed on her she can do things? Like, I just don't really know what was happening. And so by the end of this movie, I'm like, that was kind of interesting. Like, there are cool things at play here, like, you know, the anti-war stuff and the fact that, like, these monsters are using wizards is really cool, and, you know, her curse being, like, her having to accept herself to, like, turn back to normal. Like, that's all great, but at the end of the day, it was just a lot of muddledness at the end, and it just didn't really all come together for me, I don't think. So, yeah, I'm kind of in the middle on this one.
I would also plant myself firmly in the middle. I'd give it, like, a 3 out of 5 because the animation is gorgeous, and I really like the world, and I really like all the set pieces, I think, are fantastic, and all the characters are really good. You mentioned confusion. I was a little confused as to her, like, kind of rubber banding back and forth between young Sophie and old Sophie. Is it just like her spirit breaking the curse or something? But I thought curses were hard to break. I don't know. So I wasn't really sure why all that was going on. This is a movie I watched as a child. I didn't remember most of it, but the one thing I did remember is the absolute blob of a woman, the Witch of the Waste.
Yeah.
Because that is burned into my memory because I was a child, and it was scary.
Yeah. The scene of her going up the stairs is hilarious. Yeah. Just all the sweat they animated on her.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's good. It was a good scene for sure. But with the confusion that you described, that I agree, I was a little confused. The confusion was kind of a little bit overpowered. I was just kind of bored. I think that the story is a little too thin for the movie. Because it feels like a lot of stuff, and the pacing kind of struggles because of this, because a lot of stuff just happens. Like, all of a sudden, Sophie just is instantly turned into an old woman, is like, within minutes, she's on the ship, or on the castle cleaning it. And then a lot of just things happen around the house, she hangs out with Markle, and she goes to the queen or the chief sorceress, and it drags a lot in the middle for me. And I think the end, it pulls back together, and I like the conclusion, and but in the middle, it was dragging a little bit. It was I never felt that way about Mononoke. Mononoke was too long, I said, but I never lost attention, whereas in this movie, I was kind of drifting a little bit in the middle, just kind of when they're just going through the motions.
Yeah, I would agree. I feel like I was still engaged, though, because I was expecting it all to lead to something big or like some reveal or something, and that didn't really happen, and that was kind of a bummer. But it makes sense this was based on a book, because I feel like it would work way better as a book, because there's way more time and room for details. Yes. Like, apparently, again, I also picked the trivia because I was like, maybe they can help me with confusion. Apparently, in the book, Sophie finds out she's a witch, like, pretty early, and she's the one that takes out the Witch of the Wastes, and not Solomon. Like, Sophie conjures, like, the fire demon things and, like, takes her out. And I feel like I would have liked that, maybe, or just having her have a little more development physically, but also, like, going back to normal, but also, like, magically, it could have been cool. And then there are characters like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I quite like the fact that Sophie is just a human, because it kind of gives us a POV character, and I feel like things would maybe even get a little more convoluted if, like, 30 minutes in, she finds out she's a witch, and now she's got the powers, and Hal's got the powers, and I think Markle is sorcerer in training, and all that. I like having, like, a grounded human character, but it... Yeah, there are things that would make more sense if Sophie was a witch. And I will say, though, I like the use of Suleiman, especially with, like, taking the Witch of the Waste's power. So I think that would be something that would be a little more vindictive of Sophie and potentially, I don't know, detract from her purity as just a purely good character. But
sure. I get that. And yeah, speaking of the supporting characters, like, I like Markle a lot. Like, he's a really, like, cute kid, and, like, he's a nice presence. But also, I'm like, why is he here? Why? What reason in this world is he on Hal's ship? Like, how much is, like, oh, we got a funny little family. And it's like, yeah, why is, what happened to Markle? You know? Like,
I want to know. I have to imagine he's just, like, Howl's apprentice, and he adds a lot of levity.
Yeah. big his old Markle. Man disguise is yeah. so great. He just pulls the hood over and the beard comes down.
Also, in the dub, Markle is voiced by a zero-year-old Josh Hutcherson, which is pretty funny.
I heard about that, yeah. Yep. That's cool.
but yeah, Markle's all right. There are a lot of things in this movie that don't necessarily contribute too much to the story or move the plot mm-hmm. along, which is something that I really like, usually. But mm-hmm. I also do kind of need that plot to stay convinced and connected to the story.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, going back to the characters, like with Suleiman, why did she just like give up at the end? Like they got the happy ending. She's like, I'm giving up now. Like, what was she after? Was she after Hal's heart? And because it's back in his body, then she's like, we're good.
I think it was what the king decided, we're not doing the war anymore.
No, that was Hal in disguise.
Oh, at the end? Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah, when he comes in off the plane, he's like, we can't do that because it'll hurt our citizens. That was Hal in disguise. And the real king came, he's like, we're about to bomb people. Yay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
then
he runs out. We never see him again.
No, because
it was the Suleiman. Scarecrow was going to go, and Suleiman ends the war.
No, the Scarecrow ends the war, yeah. Which was...
The Scarecrow was going to go back and end it because he was a prince.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Scarecrow, best character.
Oh, he was great. That. Yes.
Best character in the movie.
Love the Scarecrow.
But maybe she's like, it's inevitable, so I guess we'll just end it. Which, like, yay, I'm glad we ended the war. But also, it seems like super just, like, flippant. Like, you were just killing all these people, and now you're like, I guess we'll stop now. I don't know. Like, the anti-war stuff, I'm a big anti-war fan of that message. But I feel like it was kind of just thrown in. And I don't know if it fully added to the entire, like, plot and theme of the movie. Because the theme seems to be, like, self-acceptance. So yeah, then why do we also have this war stuff going on?
I do think that the setting in war times is, it's good. I think it does get a little bit lost in the shuffle, and you're right. There's kind of multiple themes at play, none of which really get explored to the fullest, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, the war is more of a setting, than like an actual part of the story, I guess. But
yeah, which is a very cool setting. Like again, yeah. Wizards being used for war is one of the coolest things ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that. I think I've seen it before in anime. I was mentioning before we started that. Like, that specific thing reminds me of something I've seen, and I cannot remember what it is, and it's driving me nuts. But, like, the ships, like, dropping off the little, like, demon dudes is, like, really, really cool.
Yeah.
And, like, Hal was, like, fighting them at night, kind of like Batman. But, like, we don't see a lot of that either. And I guess the implication is if he uses his powers too much, he'll turn into that monster fully.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, but it's like, I was thinking about today, it's like, okay, so he's supposedly a coward, but also he's fighting against the war every single night, and just, I don't know, like, he was a fun enough character, like, I like his personality, his interactions, but if I think about it too much, I just don't really understand him, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, I agree, and I think that his character is a little bit limited. We see, you know, parts of it, but it's usually as like just him laying down because he's recovering.
Mm-hmm.
The romance angle seems a little quick.
I agree. Yeah.
But I did like how the Scarecrow just kind of just gets to hold an L.
Honestly,
you got true love's kiss. except, sorry, bud, you're not her true love.
Yep. Yeah, poor Scarecrow. He did so much, and he got so little.
He takes the L with grace and pogos off into the distance.
Just, I did love that. We saw through the dog, he's still pogoing, which is awesome. But yeah, like speaking on that, like, so I'm assuming Sophie's curse is broken by the end of the movie, but she still has gray hair. So I'm like, yeah. Is it broken or not? Or is she currently in her rubber banded state?
Yeah, I think she's just like, she's worked her way back through like spirit or something. Because yeah, it's established that she's not a witch by them not establishing that she is a witch. So I think that, it's just like that's her most enlightened form under the curse, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I did like the rubber banding. I think it was cool that when she's becoming more like speaking her mind and being true to herself, she was getting like younger. And then as soon as she doubted herself, she'd go back. And yeah, when she's sleeping, she's back in young form because she's mm-hmm. not like actively thinking, which is kind of cool.
Right.
But yeah, by the end, it's like, if she had brown hair, I'd be like happy. I'm like, oh, cool. They broke the curse. But because she still has gray hair, I'm like, I don't know. I'm confused again.
while we're talking about her appearance, I always love when movies are like, this character's ugly. They have to tell us that because the character's not ugly. Like, oh, she's got eyebrows. Oh, no. Imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did like...
Not the best haircut. Obviously, yeah. She's ugly as hell.
One thing I did like about her character is they could have very easily said in the beginning of the movie, before she gets the curse, that, oh, you're an old soul, or you act like an elderly woman, you know. But instead, like, she transforms, and the line that I really liked was, she's like, oh, these clothes finally suit me. And it's like, that's the implication. It's like, she's kind of acts like an elderly person, or she thinks she does.
Yeah, without hand feeding us.
Yeah, without beating you over the head with it. Right. And I also was impressed by how well you just buy she is an older woman.
Yeah.
Like, pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so that I'm like, is this part of the curse? Where she's like acting more like a... She's like, oh, old age will do this to you. And it's like, you're not old. Like, you are, but you are. And it's just... So, yeah. Again, more confusion. I feel like the book is probably better, is kind of my thesis of this whole conversation. Is the book's probably better because it probably goes more in depth and explains things better.
That's fair. I'll fill you in since you watched the original Japanese. But
yeah.
Dub is, once again, in my opinion, good. Christian Bale is good as Howell. He is trying, you can tell. Emily Mortimer plays young Sophie, and she's good. I think Lauren Bacall, like the classic actor or actress, was she plays old Sophie, and she's also great. I already mentioned the outstanding Markle played by like 4-year-old Josh Hutcherson, but the best part is that the what's the fire's name?
Calcifer.
Calcifer is played by Billy Crystal. He does a really good job. Like he has a very distinct voice, so like you're like, oh yeah, that's Billy Crystal, but there's good emotion in his voice, and it's not abrasive like it can be. And his dynamic with Howell's really good, and their dialogue together is really good. So once again, a good dub. I thought Jacob will tell me in a couple days that it's actually a bad dub. But
well, maybe. Okay, so I might have had a change of heart on this because, well, maybe not. I'm glad to hear you were also confused because I was kind of wondering. I'm like, because I spoke to Perk off the podcast about how I watched the same scene, sub and dub, from Mononoke, and it was like pretty different in the translation. And that was kind of interesting. And I'm wondering, I imagine the dub is more localized to Americans than the sub. I mentioned the sub's got pretty direct translation, whereas, you know, for the actors doing the dub, they kind of make the sayings more, I don't know, things that we would be used to hearing, right?
Yeah.
So I was wondering if the dub for this movie would be less confusing if they, like, cleared some things up when they were kind of rewriting some of the lines, but maybe not if you're still confused. But the point is, maybe I should have watched the dub because maybe I would have been less confused if they did more work on localization as opposed to just the direct translation in the sub, where like a lot of times I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, what are they trying to say?
I do think the dubs are pretty supremely American. I mean, even to the point where it is pretty funny, but Christian Bale, an English actor, is doing an American accent. Emily Mortimer isn't, I don't think. Yeah, maybe she is. The dubs feel American, and I think there have even been like separate British dubs for stuff like
this. I believe it. Yeah. Anyway, that's something I've kind of noticed with anime movies in particular. I feel like when I watch shows, and again, this is from my personal experience. I'm not trying to say this is an overarching thing, but like if there's like a pun, like a Japanese word pun, they'll put like a little like parentheses in the captions of like, hey, here's just so you know, like this is what's happening. It's like a pun on this word, and that's why it's funny. Whereas if it was a dub, they would try to change that joke to make it work in American English. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They wouldn't they wouldn't do the same thing and explain it. So I wonder if something like that, where it's like I'm missing out some of the meaning because a lot of Japanese, there's like, what is it, like something like 10 different words that mean love in Japanese, but it'll just always be love if you see it in a sub. So like I'm missing some context, I'm sure, with this stuff. So maybe for these movies, the dub would be better. But
maybe. I don't know. But I will say an example of what you're talking about in Odd Taxi, the porcupine raps were translated super well. Like they were not direct verbatim translations in the dub. They were rewritten so that they made sense and rhymed in English, which
is awesome. And that's what matters for that character.
Yes, and you can tell, like, you can tell when effort was put into a dub, even if it maybe mm-hmm. doesn't hit, versus just an absolute phone in. Like, we got the same voice actor to play 11 characters, and
right.
Yeah, but I feel like Ghibli does a pretty thorough job at their dubs, because they have, like, the most appeal of any anime movies in America, I feel like.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, anything else you want to mention for Howl's Moving Castle? That's pretty much all I get.
Not really, yeah. I unfortunately, it's just kind of middle of the road. Didn't stand out too much. And it hurts that we watched Mononoke last week, which is a superior film, in my opinion. So, there's the, you know, you may not... don't need to compare every film, but with the juxtaposition that we watched it last week, it's hard not to.
Right. As far as recommendations, I had a couple things pop into my head.
But not the Harry one Potter. That you were struggling with, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But Harry Potter, I mean, I think this was giving Harry Potter vibes for me as far as just kind of the magic and the world's a little bit fucked up and all that.
It's like a lighter fantasy.
Yeah.
Where it's like the magic is adjacent to the real world kind of a thing.
Yeah, and they're still like industrial revolution stuff, which was very cool. Like the ships that like two people could stand on with the little wings, so they were awesome. My guess for the anime I was thinking of was Black Clover. I think they use wizards in the military in that one, but I'm not positive. I didn't love that show. But that's maybe I want to check out. And then I'm grasping here, Perk, of what is my memory trying to go to? But I think the scene where they're going up the stairs and they're just like dying, you know?
Yeah.
And they get to the top and Sophie's like, why don't you help her? And he's like, we can't help anybody. They got to get up on their own. The guy who says that has like a hat, like a tall hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like being kind of a dick. He reminded me of the guy from Robots, the little puppet robot. He's at the front gate. Who's like, you can come in. And then he closes the gate on Ewan McGregor, you know, he's a little shitter. And I don't know. For some reason, like, there's a trial to, like, get to the place, and then when you get to the place, they're an asshole. I'm grasping, Perk. I'm grasping hard, but that's what I came up with.
I have nothing, so that's a better connection than I came up with.
There we go.
My recommendation based on this one is to watch Howl's Moving Castle when you are 10 years old.
Show it to your kid.
It was more effective for me back then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to try to see Spirited Away in the theaters this October.
I have not seen that one yet. I am also planning on that. I can't remember if I've seen Spirited Away or not.
I think if you polled everyone in America, that's would be the most common number one ranking for Ghibli.
I've been doing a little digging, and there are a few that I definitely want to watch. Like Whisper of the Heart, I haven't seen. I've heard really good things. I have seen Kiki's Delivery Service, but I wouldn't mind rewatching that because it's really good.
Yeah, I want to see The Wind Rises, the last one they did
as well. Yeah,
it's not Miyazaki, but I would like to see Grave of the Fireflies. I've heard that movie is absolutely heartbreaking, but
good. I don't want to watch that movie. It's like, well, hey, do you want to just sit down on a random afternoon and watch Schindler's List? No.
Well,
should you?
Then.
Probably.
You can't watch it anywhere because it's not streaming or renting. You can't. It's unwatchable. So maybe that's a good thing for now.
I bet you Grave of the Fireflies would be a good companion piece to Oppenheimer, unironically.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong there. But yeah, that is our review of Howl's Moving Castle. Before we say we're watching next week, we got one mini little bonus review from Perk.
Yes.
What do you got?
So I have now seen Oppenheimer in the theaters 3 times. The first time I saw it because I was worried about FOMO, and I wanted to do the back-to-back with Barbie. The second time I went and saw a 70mm showing, which, they always ask, like, can you actually tell? Yes, you can. It's crystal clear. The picture was amazing. The colors were so fantastic. And I talked about this with Jacob, but hearing the projector and, like, looking over my shoulder and seeing into the projector room and seeing the frames slide by, just so cool. Such a fun cinema experience. But then I finally, just yesterday, I was again worried. I'm like, when am I ever going to get the chance to watch this movie in IMAX? I've got to go see it in IMAX.
Yep.
So
yep.
I went to Burnsville after work and watched the IMAX showing of Oppenheimer on what is a tremendously large screen, which I always forget about. I was maybe a little too close, but it's so immersive. Obviously, the screen is fantastic, and seeing it in the true aspect ratio is, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. The visuals are great, especially in the first half of the movie when you've got some of the more almost like Terrence Malick, like space shots or like Adam depictions. And those look absolutely phenomenal. An underrated aspect of IMAX is the sound.
Yep, I'd agree.
The sound, it just hits so much heavier because of the systems they have in place. And that is a great movie sound-wise, especially some of the scenes like the gymnasium scene, which I think I could watch that scene on repeat for the rest of my life. It's one of my favorite scenes ever put to film.
Yeah.
And yeah, just overall, I'm really glad I went. I accidentally got a free beer because the guy forgot to ring it up. Also, fun fact for the locals out there, the Burnsville IMAX or the Burnsville cinema at the Burnsville Center has the cheapest fountain drink is $6 and a Deschutes Fresh Squeezed is $5.50. Which is just enabling, honestly.
Yeah, that's actually hilarious. I wonder if it's because they're separate, maybe they're separate businesses.
I'm sure they are. Yeah, I'm sure there's a distinction.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Well, good. I'm glad you got to see it in IMAX. That's the only time I saw it was in IMAX. And yeah, the sound is amazing.
And I can't even remember the last time I saw a movie three times in theaters. But really, I just had such a good experience with this movie and the whole phenomenon. And I love Nolan to death. I know it's like almost frowned upon to be a big Nolan fan anymore, but his movies just, they hit in such a way that I'm really glad I got to see it a bunch of times. I must have been like in middle school the last time I saw a movie three times in the theater, because what else are you going to do during the summer? But I'll happily support big auteur movies. Please give us more. Although I don't want to see Polly Pocket. we can drop some IP. Just give us more. Give funding to people who are going to make creative ideas.
Yeah. Like I said, hope the creator is good this year. That's, to me, seems like a standout IP. That could
be
good.
The trailer looks good. I'm looking forward to it. All signs point to it being terrible. I hope that's not the case.
I don't know. Not all signs.
The all signs.
Director's the same guy who did Rogue One.
Yeah, but all signs meaning I have seen it advertised nowhere outside of a theater.
Well, that means it's going to do poorly. It doesn't mean it'll be bad.
It just means the studio doesn't believe in it.
Yeah, but they also didn't believe in Blade Runner
2049,
thank you.
Masterpiece, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I almost said 2077, but that's Cyberpunk. There's too many. Too many years.
There's a lot of cyberpunk-y type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm also, I love Oppenheimer. It redeemed, not like Nolan was in the shitter with me. I just didn't love Tenet, and I was like, I don't know about this, but Oppenheimer brought me back. All right, I'm back on the Nolan train. Excited to see what he does next. I'm assuming another unique film about time, because they're always about time. But very excited to see what his next project will be. All right, well, that is our show for this week. Next week, we're going to be watching one of my favorite movies, Your Name, which I have seen, Perk has not. Connection is Ryunosuke Kamiki, who played Markle in Howl's Moving Castle, and then he plays the main character in Your Name in the sub.
I will be watching this one subbed, by the way. Don't get mad, animated creatures out there.
I've heard the dub is pretty good for this, but
I'll do it for Ghibli because that's what I grew up with. But I'll watch the sub for anything else.
As far as watching it, weirdly, only the dub is on Crunchyroll. Otherwise, you can rent it. The sub used to be on there. I don't know what happened. But yeah, you can watch the dub on Crunchyroll. If you want to watch a sub, you got to rent it. So
damn, now it's costing me money to be a true anime fan.
I know, right? What a shame. All right. Well, thank you everyone for watching Your Name next week on Crunchyroll and to rent. But until then, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.